As you see on the board today, we want to study a very, very important topic, how to establish Bible authority. Now, one of the difficulties that I had in getting this material together today was this is a four-part series. And I'm trying to narrow down and take quite a bit of information from the four parts and make simply two sermons out of it. You know, the book, the Bible, is the best and most important book you'll ever own. There's nothing more than important than the Bible. It has actually been read or purchased more than any other book since the printing press. The Bible is a very, very important, inspired book of God, and one that we need. So therefore today, let me say it this way. The most important book in all the world is the Bible. The second most important thing about any other book is that you must learn to read, to study, and to obey the Bible, and learn how to establish Bible authority. You know, there's a lot of different incidents found in the Bible, some of which are rather vague and obscure to me and to you. Other of which are very easy to understand. Today in our lesson, we're going to briefly point out the Bible teaches by command, by example, and by necessary inference. To those who are quite the reader, you may have read before where it's command, statement, example, and necessary inference. But if you've grown to accept today that the Bible teaches by command, it includes statements. So therefore, the four command, statement, example, necessary inference have now been brought down to three to better give a precise understanding. The Bible will give the authority by command, by example, and by necessary inference. Now what I hope already, as you've seen the entire outline of the board, I hope that you can think of times the Bible given by command. Other times, how the Bible teaches the authority by example and that of necessary inference. In my longer lesson, I will give more detail about each of these. But in today's lesson, we're going to hit it and explain it, but it's going to be very briefly, and it will be very precise, and it will encourage everyone, hopefully, to be able to understand that. And then the second area, which is simply point 4 and point 5, we want to talk about specific and generic authority. Now this is very, very important, because this right here has what caused people who have misunderstood the Bible and how to establish authority to be led away. Most times people are led away because of failure to understand these principles, many of them never. And then a third area, which is point number 6 here, is the silence is prohibited. There are two major views here. Silence is prohibited, and silence is permissive. Now, I'll talk briefly about that, but I did not write silence is permissive of the Lord, because that's a false doctrine. It's false teaching in every way. I did not want to write that on the board, in case someone took a picture of this, and they saw that, and obviously you would know think the Bible is only a bunch of love letters, and it's really not teaching by command. But I want everybody here to know, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. In 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verse 34, the first segment of the chapter addressed the headship. And verse 34, Jesus, through the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Paul said, the things that I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. There are numerous passages of Scripture that will illustrate how we're taught by command. A command is a direct teaching from God. Thou shalt do this, or thou shalt not do that. Now, many of our religious circles today, they don't like the idea of being told what you can and what you cannot do. They want to live freelance religion, and you can't do that and do it God's way. You know, when you speak about the command, you can easily see that with the communion. When Jesus himself, he observed the communion, he instituted the communion, and he said, this do in remembrance of me. That's real clear. That's very precise. It's hard to understand or misunderstand that. When he said, this do, you do this, you do what I have done in remembrance of me. Now, I want to point off something here. When you commune, it's not time to clean out your purse and wash and clean your fingernails and clip your nails and all that business. All that may be needed to be done. I do realize that. But it's fine Saturday night to do that. Sunday morning is amazing to me. Every now and then you're sitting there, you're really trying to meditate. You feel the flip and kind of bend back. Somebody got their finger well on the way. The problem, when you observe communion and follow the commands of Jesus, he said, when you do this, you eat and drink my body and my blood. Or you eat and drink damnation to yourself. Now listen, that's strong language. But people who follow the command to commune and do it the right manner, but do not do it the right attitude or the right spirit, are no better off than those who do it wrong. Much, much more I can say about that. Let's look at number two. The Bible teaches by example. Now I want to lay to rest and ask you to listen very carefully here. This is very, very important. Many people said, when is an example binding? Well, this may blow your socks off when it is something. All commands are binding. You go, what? What side of the bed did you get up on this morning? All commands are binding? Listen, the question when is an example binding is not the question that should be asked. The question that should be asked is, when is an incident an example? That's what should be asked. If it is an example given to us by God, we should follow it. But when does a biblical incident become a binding example? Now that's very important. If you have any questions about that, I'll be more than happy to further discuss that with you. When is an example binding? All examples are binding. When is it an incident in the Scripture become a binding example? The answer is, an incident in the Scripture becomes a binding example when it is backed up by a direct command of God. That's when you can know. And this is very, very important. Now we know how Acts 27 is a great example. You know, Acts 27 is not a command. Acts 27 is not a necessary inference. Acts 27 is an example. When the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached to them. That is an example when the disciples came together for the purpose of breaking bread. The term breaking bread refers here to communion. The communion service is identified in three different ways in the New Testament. The Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians 11. Communion, 1 Corinthians 10. Acts 20, breaking bread. So it is totally appropriate We're here today to observe the Lord's Supper. All of these are so wonderful. They're all biblically based. So therefore, when you take a good look at examples, it needs to be understood that when an incident becomes an example, there's a binding and a direct command of God that makes that incident an binding. You know, there are people who come in and they will say, well, what about?
Specific example, you're talking about what that which rather unique difference. But you know, today, when I think about specific commands of the Scripture, it is real important that we understand that God's Word, whenever He's addressing saying things He wants done, I want you to do it, and I want you to do it a certain way. Now, whenever you study the Old Testament, it will just make this huge and big and clear. Let me give an example. God told Noah to build the ark. Now you know where I'm going here. God told Noah to build the ark so long, so wide, so high. He said, no, here's what I'm going to do. I want you to build the ark out of gopher wood. That sounds pretty specific to me. He didn't have to say it. I don't want you to use pine, oak, maple. I don't want you to use any pine, oak, maple, or any other kind of wood. Gopher wood. Listen, get a hold of this. If you're taking notes, please write it down. When God specified a thing to be done a certain way, that automatically excludes any other way. We face it that, keep it in mind, keep it on the tip of your tongue. God specifies something to be done a certain way. Let me ask Paul what happened if I go ahead and say, you know, Lord, we got a whole lot more pine trees here that we could go for. Other guys wouldn't use pine. Boom. He'll drop the fast. Did they go? You know why? Because God gave a specific command. What if Noah would have said, Lord, one witness is not enough. So therefore, I'm going to just put me several witnesses. When God specifies the command, that automatically objects every other for teaching. Do God's word, do God's will, do God's way. Well, I can talk about generic. What's a generic command? Now, you've heard that all your life. What is it? A generic command is when the Lord tells you to do something, but does not tell you how to do that. That's what a generic command is. Let me give you an example of that. Matthew 28:18-20. Is where Matthew records the Great Commission. And in the Great Commission, he said, go ye in all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. You know what's specific about this? What is generic about this? Let's talk about the word go. He said, go. Go into all the world. You know what he did not tell them to do? How to go. They could walk. They could run. Rode a camel. They could roll each other's back. Modern day, you take a cab, you can take a plane, you can take a bus, you can hitchhike. You do anything you want to do, but go. That's a generic command. When God tells you to go, but doesn't specify how to go, it is a generic command. My wife can give you many examples. You know, I think the specific command, I think Nadab and Abihu, they felt God told them precisely where to get the fire for their altar. But they had another thought in mind. They decided to get it from what God called, this is a strange fire. So they died. And it was all better. I love a quote that from Brother Wayne King. I love Wayne King, so I love that. This is sermon in a quote. Wayne McKenna said, God is not interested in our creativity. Let's do things God's way. I'll give that again. I'm going to start with right now. God is not interested in our creativity. You may say, I don't see anything wrong with doing it this way. So, what's your point? If God said to do it a certain way and you change it, it's different. Let me give another example. There's two men in the Old Testament known as Cain. being the children of Adam and Eve and Abel. Guess what? They both worship God. Cain worship God. Abel worship God. You know what the modern day teaching of your friend and your neighbor in the God classroom and professor teach you? It doesn't matter how you worship, just worship. That's wrong. It doesn't matter how you worship. Now the situation is, Cain offered what he wanted God to have. Abel offered, the Bible says in Hebrews 11, by faith Abel offered unto God his sacrifice. Let me tell you something. This sounds harsh. It sounds mean. And I don't mean it that way, but I want to be matter of fact patient with you today. And that is simply this. If worshiping God is worth anything at all, it's worth doing right. If I'm not worshiping God right, I just sin no worship at all. If I'm not to serve God right, why serve Him at all? Because the outcome is going to be the same. Now, I can give you case after case after case of people who served God their own way like Cain did, who were rejected. God specified what He wants. It is up to me and you to accept that. Generic authority, when God allows you to get it. You remember the case in 1 Kings 18 when God told Elijah? He said, tell the people to go over there and get a bunch of water. I found that interesting because it hadn't rained in 3.5 years. So getting water may not have been a sunset way, you know, folks, geographically, it's close to the river and all that. What did they need? Literally top of the mountain. He said, go get a bunch of water and bring it up here. They did. He didn't come by God. He said, go. Christian friends, I want you to have a good working understanding. To most of you, I like to think that you're not new material. To some of you, especially the younger ones, it might be new or at least not Christian or very much. But I want you to get a handle from how the Bible teaches by command, example, and necessary first. I want you to get a handle on specific and generic authority because this is going to be the difference of you being saved and being lost. And yielded to what God's word said. I want you to understand the Sabbath is prohibited. In our day and time, we have people who we love dearly who have adopted the view that silence is permissive. It has been told to me by 3 or 4 different preachers that God won't have this view. If God doesn't say you cannot, you can. Do you realize how dangerous that is? The silence of Scripture being permissive is a false doctrine. I want you to know that. The silence of Scripture is prohibited. We are to speak all. Get a hold of this, please. If you choose to write it down, but listen. We are to follow what the Bible says, not what the Bible does not say. When you go by what the Bible doesn't say anything about it, I can do it. You're going by, you're preaching, promoting, practicing what the Bible says absolutely nothing about. You're following the ways of man, which we get to here in a little bit, instead of the way of God. Silence is prohibited. Not only in the New Testament, but the Old Testament. In the book of Deuteronomy 4:2, which is very similar to the letter. Deuteronomy 4:2, what things God says, soever I command you, observe to do it, thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. A lot of people say, well, God, if you don't say anything about it, can I go ahead and do it? Don't add to, don't take from, do not alter, do not change. Deuteronomy 12:32, very similar. And Deuteronomy 4:2, don't add to, don't take from. Now listen. That same thing is taught all the way to the very last book of the Old of the New Testament, Revelation 22. Don't ever allow yourself to be misled by people who say, if God's word doesn't say anything about it, you can go ahead and do it. God has given us instruction through command, through statement, through example, necessary inference. He has given us teaching. A about specific and generic authority. He's letting us know whenever I speak, you listen. The silence is prohibited. Deuteronomy 12:32, now in Revelation 22:18-19. If anyone hears the books of the prophets of this book, thou shalt not add to it nor take it from it. Listen. No intelligent Bible student can read the Bible, Old or New Testament, without drawing that God means what he said. And he doesn't want us to mess it up. By me doing what I want to do, if I were right, I would not be. But if I were right and said the silence was permitted, therefore God doesn't say anything about A, B, and C, therefore I would do A, B, and C, why can't you say, well, I'm going to do B, and I'm going to do J, K, and F. I want everybody to do what you want to do. Free man for religion. God always teaches us how to worship him. John the 4th chapter should not be an obscure passage. God is the Spirit. They who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And how do we know that? We know that through the principle that you right here. 1 Peter 4:11. Peter the Apostle said, this is a powerful passage. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Don't you get a handle on that? Not if any man speak, let him speak of what the Bible is silent about. That's all it said. If you speak, speak as the oracles of God. And that's what it is that we're supposed to do. Look at this verse. Acts 20:27. Paul said, I have not to judge compared to you the whole counsel of God. I'm telling you exactly what God's word is. Do not get caught in the trap of the religious words that if God doesn't say anything about it, you can do it. That is false teaching. And then the last verse on this lineup is 2 Peter 1:3. According to his divine power, has given unto us, God has given unto us, all things pertaining to life and to godliness. If you want to be saved, you will focus your time, your attention, your energy, your effort on what is written. You know when Jesus had the face-to-face confrontation with Satan in Matthew 4, you know what Jesus said? It is written. It is written. It is written. When Jesus had head-to-head confrontation with the Pharisee, and the religious of the day, you know what he said? Have you not read? Jesus wants people to read the Bible, study the Bible, understand the Bible, understand what God's will is. If you don't read the Bible, say what it does not say. You read the Bible, what it does say. And that is very important. But it's almost 5:55. What I plan to do, I plan to cover these 2 million segments this afternoon, and I've got about 5 or 10 more pages that I don't think of. That's how I give you a comment here. I want to cover these. I want to make sure to emphasize these points, because how to establish the Bible authority is a humongous, very, very important area of study. It is fine to be an issue-oriented preacher. I'm a preacher on issues, this, that, or the other. But you've got to go back to what God wants. I want everybody here to really be a firm book, chapter, verse teacher. As an elder of 21st Street, I'm an elder. That's where I'm an evangelist. But let me tell you what. As an elder, I encourage every speaker. If you're not prepared to speak, call me. I do teach you. Call me. I don't care if it's Sunday morning, we start at 10:30. I want you to call me at 10 o'clock Sunday morning. If you're not ready, call me. Because we've got 20 other guys that are ready to go. That was a Winston thing I called. His brother said, I'm not ready to teach Sunday night. I'm just not prepared. I said, no problem. Well, I've got a list of brethren who are ready as a matter of fact. We bring sermons to every service, whether they have a lesson or not. Some people are serving in their wallet. Some people in their car. But they're ready to go in a moment's notice. You're not ready for whatever reason. Don't expect to shame your
world to be ready to meet your Maker. To know if I die right now, that I would be saved. You know, back in October 5th when my father died, you know, it was a sad time on one end. And this is the paradox of the other end. I was proud for him. But, you know, when a saved one dies, you're going to miss him. Paul said of Epaphroditus, he was sick, dying to death, and I wept bitterly. Not because he wasn't ready to go, but because Epaphroditus was ready. But Paul said, I would miss him. Well, I can sympathize with that now more than ever. Well, I appreciate phone calls and letters, a variety of ways that people communicate with me. But I tell you what, death would be a wonderful victory for you if you do things God's way. But death would be horrible if you died in sin. If you're in our sin and you never obey your gospel, I encourage you to do that today. You've heard the word of God. Believe it. Because your confidence, your faith in it, repent of your sin, confess the name of Jesus. Be buried in baptism. Wash away your sin. By so doing, you'll find the Lord as your church. He asks you to the body of believers. If you've never prayed the gospel, do not pray. Do not pray. If you've taken the steps, sin has entered into your life.